We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Here we go with our number three of the Rob Brown Radio Program right here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Great to have you as we rock and roll through the second hour of the show. Hey, coming up later on today, we have got the legendary Rashad Beard, the host of the Panther Nation podcast, is going to join us on the show. We'll be talking to him about Carolina Panther draft philosophy. I love a good draft philosophy segment on the show. Best available, highest need. How you handling it this year if you're in charge, if you're Dan Morgan?
Wait. That's a week from today.
It is a week from today.
And I hear that there's something going on with the station a week from today.
Boy, howdy, Lonzo. You sure are good at this. You are absolutely correct, mon ami. That is true. Categorically true. It is true because coming up a week from today, our guys, Diesel and Cole Bryson, will be live at Dave & Buster's for night number one of the NFL draft. And just because you were curious and you asked, I'll be there too. I'm even trying to talk the great one into coming to hang out with us at Dave & Buster's and play some video games in person. We'll see if it works or not. I don't know. What I do know. Is that coming up a week from today, it is round one of the NFL draft. What I do know is that coming up a week from today, who's got the number one overall pick? Chicago Bears,
yeah.
I forgot, because they weren't the worst team in the league last year. The worst team in the league normally has the number one draft pick, right?
That would be the Carolina Panthers.
That's right. I knew I was forgetting something.
But they traded that pick away.
That they did. They traded that pick away to the Chicago Bears, as a matter of fact. It turns out, who knew? So, we will be there at Dave & Buster's next Thursday. Myself, Diesel, Cole Bryson, and potentially, perhaps maybe, the great one himself, Lonzo, if we're all lucky. We'll find out. I'm looking forward to finding out, my friends. So, make sure you're there next Thursday. Wire to Wire with Cole and Diesel at 3 to 7 p.m. And also Rob. Let's get some more sports in here, shall we? Let's get some more discussion going on the radio broadcast today. Let's go with the... Man, I got so many stories I want to get to here. Oh, Jason Kelce. Yesterday, the Kelce Bros came up on the show. Travis got himself a hosting gig on a new game show. I think it's Netflix, if I recall correctly. Doesn't really matter. But a game show that Travis Kelce is hosting. Of course, Mr. Taylor Swift.
Is it So You're Smarter Than the Fifth Grader? Because I seem to remember him mentioning that in an earlier podcast.
Travis Kelce game show. It is going to be... Yes, it is.
Yeah, he mentioned that like a month ago, that they were working on that.
Yep.
So...
Kansas City Chiefs tight end has booked his first TV series job, and it's hosting a spinoff of the Fox game show Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader for Amazon's Prime Video. The new show is titled Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? And it will have adult contestants answering sixth grade level questions with the help of some famous faces. Amazon has ordered 20 episodes of the show hosted by the Super Bowl champ.
Sixth grade level questions. How you think you'd fare?
Real good.
Yeah, I'm not bad at trivia, and that's basically a trivia show.
In fact, what we might do, great one, when that show kicks off, and I don't know when that show airs for the first time because it's just going into production, I may very well be watching it and bringing the questions in the next day to see how we do. All right? We'll see.
That's a little unfair that you're going to bring them in because then you don't have to answer them.
All right, I'll have the fiance write them down. I'll have the fiance track him. There's nothing she'll love more than me sounding like an idiot on the radio. Well, so that might work.
I was going to say, if we were going to do that, we need to bring in a third person to ask the questions who would only have the questions and not us. That way we wouldn't be privy to the questions that are being asked. That's the only way it would be fair.
You know what? You know what? I'll see if she wants to come on and host that segment. Are you smarter than a Rob Brown?
Why is it about you? I said us.
We'll let the listeners play too.
It's
an all-inclusive show.
Wow, man. So arrogant.
It's an all-inclusive show.
I'm invisible and hurt over here.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
I said we and you said you, but that's normal.
You know me. As T.O. once said, I love me some me. Anyway, I said yesterday, Jason Kelce is the better Kelce brother. All right? Jason Kelce is the better Kelce brother. And it's not just the fact that he showed up and participated in a WrestleMania moment this year, which was awesome.
It was. Although, Travis does have more Super Bowls.
He does. That he does. And also, I agree with you. The more stuff like this comes out, the more I think TK's going for the three-peat. And honestly, he'd probably step away if it wasn't for the fact that there's a three-peat on the table right now. But get it or not, I think he's probably out. I think the next time the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl, he's out, right? So, Jason Kelce was on his New Heights podcast, with his co-host, Travis Kelce. And he told Travis that he no longer possesses his Super Bowl ring. He has lost his Super Bowl ring. Apparently, the Kelce brothers were hosting at their alma mater of Cincinnati, Go Cats, the Great Lawn Baby Games? Lawn Baby?
Yeah, you should. They have a trophy because there's a running joke that they would sign anything, and one of them said they would not sign a baby, and then immediately people wanted them to sign their babies. I believe it was Jason who said he wouldn't. So they have a trophy of a baby modeled after one of his kids when she was a baby.
And I like it.
Yeah.
It
makes people really uncomfortable. I haven't seen the trophy, but apparently there's a really big one that just makes people go, that's
I like
weird.
It. I like it. Way to be weird, Kelce's. As Jason explained it, one of the challenges was for two students to dig through a giant vat of Skyline chili. Now, I don't need to go off on this tangent again. Skyline chili is terrible. It's terrible. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's not
it's
good.
Awful.
It's not good, and I'm from Ohio.
Awful. If the thing that your city is most proud of is Skyline chili, you don't get to be a city anymore. Sorry, Cincinnati. Give us the Reds and go away. All right? We want Joey B, the Reds, and that's it. No, I just want Joey B.
Okay, all right.
Joey Ice can come back. The Reds, Eli De La Cruz can come to America. All the rest of you are banished from society for Skyline Chili. Anyway, Jason's also told the story in the past about how he misplaced his Super Bowl ring once before. He went to look for it. Turns out he stuffed it in a sock in his sock drawer. And so the gimmick of this game was that two students were going to dig through a giant vat of Skyline chili consisting of chili, spaghetti, and cheese looking for pairs of socks with Super Bowl rings tied to them. One of the rings that Jason used, because Jason is me, was his actual Super Bowl ring. He took his actual... He's only got one. He's got one. Took his actual Super Bowl ring.
Had.
He had one. Took his actual Super Bowl ring, put it inside of a sock, thought that he put it inside of a giant vat of Skyline chili for a Cincinnati Bearcats student to dig down and find, and it never got found, apparently. When the proverbial dust cleared, according to Yahoo Sports, no one could find the white gold ring consisting of 219 diamonds and 17 rare green sapphires. Kelsey said on the podcast, quote, "There was an unfortunateness. As you guys know, this game existed because I continually lose my Super Bowl ring. I don't even know if Travis still knows this, but I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in the event. They could not find it. We have still yet to find it. All of this stuff has been thrown away, so I think we can safely assume that my Super Bowl ring is in a landfill someplace in the Cincinnati tri-state area. I didn't think that would happen."
So now there's going to be a run on landfills when more than likely it never made it into the chili. I mean, don't you think someone just put that in their pocket when they were putting the chili together, maybe?
First off, I got to understand.
Unless he personally, well, it's pretty dumb, but unless he personally put it in the chili.
So, I know the majority of y'all don't live with me, okay? The overwhelming majority of the audience does not live with me. It's not 100%.
That's probably the most accurate thing you've said today.
It probably is. But the 0.01% of the listening audience that does live with me has asked me the question many times over, what were you thinking? And the answer to that question, Lonzo, more often than not is...
You were not.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't.
Yeah, but dude, this is a Super Bowl ring that you lose continuously.
Right.
Yeah, I just... Why use the real thing?
Now, what I can say... is this. I'll give you the example. If you walk into the Casa de Love, where Rob lives, right to the inside of the front door on the wall, great one, there is a little wood bar with hooks that hang off of it, and the keys to the car get hung on that hook. Do you know why? It is because right after I moved in with the lady friend to the Casa de Love, right after I moved in, Rob Brown had a remote that he had to go to. And Rob Brown knew it was about a 37-40 minute drive to this remote. So about 50 minutes before the remote started, I went, oh, time to go. Got to get there. And I went looking.
Wow,
and
I gave myself
like 7 minutes a window.
Way to go.
Okay.
Had you been to this place before?
I'm very prompt. I had not.
Trust in technology.
GPS, baby. So, I went to leave, and I could not find the keys. And I tore the house up, and I couldn't find the keys. And then I texted the fiance. I said, where are my keys? She said, why the hell would I know? They're not my keys. And I said, that's a very valid point. Have you seen them? And she said, no, I haven't seen your keys. Good luck. And I said, okay, thanks. And I continued. And wouldn't you know it, I eventually found the keys. I had placed them somewhere very dumb in a hurry when I got home that afternoon. And so because I had that, we'll call it a teachable moment, at this point in my life, when Rob Brown gets home from work or play or whatever he's out doing, before he does anything else, the car keys get hung on the hook by the door. That way, that never happens again. Jason's lost this ring a dozen times, it sounds like. And I'm not a fervent New Heights listener. I check in every now and then, specifically when they make announcement that they've got something big and fun going on. I'll be like, all right, let me check in on that. But I know that I've heard him tell the story about losing his ring a number of times. And so I would ask old Jason, I assume, and I could be wrong, that this is probably the second most important piece of jewelry that you own. I got to assume it's wedding ring one, Super Bowl ring two. And let's all be honest with each other. It's Super Bowl ring one, wedding ring two.
I remember losing my wedding ring one day while on the air. One of the few times that I got up and walked out of the studio while a show was going on.
Yeah.
And it's when I lost a ton of weight and I went to wash my hands and the ring came off. And I didn't notice it till I was doing the show. And then I just got up, didn't say anything, went in there and went through the trash and found it.
And let's,
so I can't imagine, a Super Bowl would be second for me as far as rings go. But if I have a penchant for losing my stuff, I am not going to do it on such a grand scale. It just, I mean, it makes it look like it's not that valuable to them.
Let's call a spade here. Getting a wedding ring's easy. I know a bunch of idiots who have done that. I know one guy with a Super Bowl ring. One in my entire life. And I know a lot of people. One guy with a Super Bowl ring that I could get in touch with.
I have met a couple guys. I will tell you, when they shake your hand and they have it on their hand, you just look at it. You can't help it.
I know two guys with professional rings. I know one guy that used to play for the Lightning. When they won a Stanley Cup, I know one NFL player with a Super Bowl ring. That's my entire list. And what I do know is that I know a bunch of idiots with wedding rings. Super Bowl rings are better and more valuable, okay? The one ring might mean something more to you. It might be your precious, obviously.
Until September, of course, when that ring becomes extremely valuable and the most important thing in the world to you.
Yeah, for sure. If I was a member of the Saints when we won our Super Bowl, no, that's still the better ring. This ring means more. That's the better ring, okay? So when you lost this ring multiple times, here's what I don't get. It's not losing the ring, because I'll be straight. I've lost my keys a number of times in the past. Now, since I moved in, I fixed that. But every time I move, I'm going to lose my keys at least once.
You're dooming yourself to losing your keys tomorrow.
100% chance. Today will be the day that I get in a hurry and just flip them on the table, and then the cat knocks them off
There's a reason why Rob leaves the keys in the office door.
Yes, there is. So, I have lost my keys on my own desk. That's a fact. So, with all of that being said, I love this story because Jason, I'd ask, what are you doing, bro? Like, what are you doing?
Wouldn't you be concerned if someone took it? Because that's my concern.
Well,
that it got dumped out. My concern is it never made it into the chili.
I was working under the assumption that, like, Jason set this up himself. For the record, there is a part of me that thinks in the back of my head, it's a stunt, it's a work, it's a podcast hype moment, right? Because, like, now everybody's going to tune in to hear what he said about it.
Yeah, but they don't need it. They're the number one sports podcast in the world. I mean, you can only be number one.
You know, it's hilarious to me that everything's a work to Lonzo till it comes to the Kelseys. Now it's, that's organic.
No.
It's a work.
I think someone stole it. Is what I think. I think someone stole it. I really do.
Either way, Jason, what do you know? Now, let's be clear. He is not the only one that's had this issue before. Vin Scully, legendary broadcaster for the LA Dodgers, Vin Scully got a ring as the broadcast play-by-play man for the Dodgers from the 1988 World Series rings, from the World Series of 1988. He lost his ring in a bag of ribs from Costco. Now, as a Costco cost bro, I get it. Okay? I get it. I will say this.
Do you want recognition for the cost bro thing? Because you looked up like.
No, I was just waiting for you to make a smart-ass comment about my cult that I'm in.
I mean,
because if there's one thing I do in my life that is a cult, it's 100% the Cosbros. Okay?
Hey, I was in that for a little bit of time, and I recognized the problem, and I got out.
I there's not a problem. It's perfection personified. All right? It just is. So, Vin Scully's done it. I understand the concept, but, like, how in the world do you not just lose your Super Bowl ring, but you lose your Super Bowl ring in a vat of crappy food, right? It's one thing if he comes home and is like, y'all, I'm not going to lie. I was going to town last night on some whatever steakhouse, steak and potatoes. My ring slipped off. I didn't notice. I don't know where it is now. That's one thing. But you willingly allegedly dumped your Super Bowl ring into a vat of crap food and lost a Super Bowl ring.
Would it bother you less if it was better food?
I think so.
Okay, all right.
I think so. I think it would. In a weird way that I can't explain, if he lost his Super Bowl ring into, like, a vat of homemade Southern sausage gravy, because that was the game, I'd be like, I get that.
That'd be a lot of gravy.
I get that. Jason, what are you doing,
buddy? I've seen
the
pans. Those pans are pretty big. And the amount, I don't know the depth of the chili, but the pans were really, really big. So I can get why it would be hard to find it.
Here's my thing.
But when it's over, I'm going over there and I'm searching through the pans myself and getting my ring.
How the hell does he, knowing his ring's in there, walk away from that. Let that chili go anywhere.
Exactly.
Right? That's got me convinced it's a podcast hype work.
Although, as you would say, they go really hard. So there is a possibility that maybe he was not at a level of sobriety to think clearly.
Okay, in fairness, that I understand.
Yeah, and especially who I'm talking about, Mr. I took my shirt off at the Super Bowl and was,
that's fair.
It's that guy.
That's fair. I'll give him credit. I mean, I'm assuming you, have you seen the Lom Baby games?
No, I hadn't watched the latest episode, but I knew it was coming.
Now I'm gonna go watch
because they've been hyping it for a while.
Because if dude was roasted toasted, then I understand it. Because I've left expensive things at places before. Because Robbie B went a couple of Jack and Cokes deep.
What is this if thing?
Yeah,
all they talked about is how they're gonna get to drink with the college students.
Which is again, that's why I'm a Jason guy.
I'm
right
just
there.
Wondering because I know that they were trying to get Joe Burrow. I don't know if he was actually there. And who knows? Maybe if he was, maybe that's where the ring went.
Joey B stole it. All right, we got to run to a break.
Which would be hilarious, by the way.
When we come back here in just a minute from right this moment, we've got a few more things that we need to get to on the radio broadcast. We, my dudes and dudettes, are living in a golden era of talent in the National Basketball Association, and yet one man continues to stand out. We will talk about that as the NBA's play-in tournament continues. Coming up in 20 minutes, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us to talk Carolina draft at 9:20. Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo, where we talk MMA, professional wrestling, and boxing. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Talked yesterday about the fact that this year's NBA, as far as I'm concerned, had the most parody from top to bottom that I can remember. Every team 1 through 10 in the West has a possibility of winning. 1 through 8 in the East do. Chicago, Atlanta, neither one of them good enough to win an NBA title. It's certainly a long shot for the teams that are, say, 6 through 10 in the West. I would say every team 1 through 7 in the East has a pretty good chance of it overall. The most parity the league's ever seen, in my opinion. And a part of the reason for that, in my opinion, is because we right now are in a fantastic time in terms of the spread of wealth of talent. I think the pendulum has swung away from the super teams to some degree. And it's not unusual for teams to have a couple of superstars at this point, but you're not really seeing them clump up like they used to. And I'm talking about generational talent. You're looking at the second youngest team in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just grabbed the top seed in the West. You're looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves, led by 22-year-old Anthony Edwards. On the other end of the spectrum, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, all in their mid-30s or later at this point. The league is phenomenal right now. The parity across the league is phenomenal right now. And what blows me away about it is that despite the fact that the league is as good as the league has ever been in terms of talent, there are still guys that are going above and beyond. There are still guys that are standing out. And I don't think there is anybody that you can say that about more than LeBron right now. Oh, God, it's a LeBron segment. Yep. Sure is. The dude has taken a team that without LeBron James, as far as I'm concerned, would have been lucky to be a 10 seed, would have been lucky to sneak into the play-in this year.
Can't you, throughout his career, say that about any team he's on, though?
Yes. Yes, you can. Except for this time, we're saying about a team that's got him at 39 years of age. 39 years old. To put that into perspective, great one, I'm 39 years of age. This dude at this point, doing what this dude is doing at this point, at 39 years of age, I don't care how you feel about him personally or politically or anything else. It is remarkable. I look at the playoff run. I look at him going nose to nose with a fourth-year guy like Zion, who, by the way, in that game, play-in game number one, the 7-8 game in the West, looked like Zion. Looked like the guy the Pelicans thought they were getting when they drafted him number one overall 4 years ago. And all LeBron did was drag that team to yet another win. A win that without him, they're not getting. He dragged them to this spot where they were the 8th seed, where they were a good 8th seed, where they are now up against the Denver Nuggets. This is part of the reason that I have said, if there's a bet you're going to make in the first round of the playoffs, don't make it that the Lakers get swept, because I don't think he's going to let them. The dude is averaging as many assists as he's ever averaged in his career. The dude's averaging north of 25 points in his career. You know the list of NBA players that average 25 points? It ain't real long, and he's the oldest guy on it. He's the oldest guy on every list. Because at 39, he is still one of the best 10 players in the NBA. I don't know what else there is to say about this guy. And again, I would like to point out that you could make the argument that when LeBron was hitting his prime, when LeBron was turning into LeBron, you could make the argument that the league was not as deep as it had been in years gone by. You could make the argument that because of super teams around the league, the competition level wasn't as good. You basically had to beat like one team in the postseason, and you were going to find yourself being discussed as amongst the best. And that's fair. It's really not that way anymore. You've got teams like Minnesota and Oklahoma City that are built around very young future studs, very young current studs, Anthony Edwards, SGA, very good players, and probably guys that are going to be superstars around this league for a long time. And yet, here's a guy 39 years of age that is still out here bringing a Lakers team that, if we are looking at it on paper, is okay. It's okay. Anthony Davis is a good player. Good player. Outside of him, what are you looking at? Austin Reeves? I like Austin Reeves a lot. Austin Reeves is a hustle monster. Austin Reeves is a guy whose game thrives when there is another superstar to take attention away from him. And in this case, it really is Anthony Davis, because Austin Reeves' point total goes up about 5 per game in the games that LeBron James has not played in. But to me, that's because the focus shifts inside to Anthony Davis, which means the floor is more open for Austin Reeves. But if Austin Reeves doesn't have an Anthony Davis in there, he's not taken over as a superstar. So who's the guy? There's not one. There's not one. And so we're clear, you can say this about a lot of guys on a lot of other teams. You can say it about Kevin Durant. You can say it, probably not about Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, but maybe. You can say it about SGA. You can say it about Anthony Edwards. You can say it about a lot of guys. The difference between all those guys is young in their prime versus 39 years of age, and the guy is still cranking out top caliber basketball. What do you want? And this is, by the way, coming from a guy whose team he just probably bounced from the playoffs in its entirety. When we come back, Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us. Texter said, Rob, you've mentioned OKC three times and you've not said Chet Holmgren, WTF. You are absolutely correct. I should mention, guy who would have won Rookie of the Year in a year that Victor Wembanyama is not a rookie. You're absolutely correct. That's my bad. Still a rookie. Still versus a 39-year-old. My point stands. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, with you on a Thursday morning. And at this time on Thursday mornings, you know, we talk a little Carolina Panther football, and we do so with our friend of the radio broadcast. He is one half of the Panther Nation podcast, which you can find on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, go to YouTube, search Panther Nation podcast, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell, because they go live all the time with some of the best Panther content you're going to find anywhere. Our guy, Rashad Beard, after a two-week hiatus where he played hooky on us last week, pretending to be sick so he could get some more sleep. He's back. What's up, big dog?
What's going on, man? Good to be back. I miss you guys, man. Shout out to all the P&P family in the chat as well, man. Shout out to those guys.
Did you get the you got the old, hey, welcome to spring in the Carolinas. Your face hurts for a couple of days now?
Yeah. No, I went on a cruise and came back sick. You know what I mean? I was on a boat with a lot of people, so came back with something, and it took me down. But I'm back. I'm good.
So
back
I'm
like
a,
I never left.
I love a cruise. All right. I get on the boat. I put my bag like with the people, and then I'm just done with responsibility for a week, to the point that I am willing to jump into that cesspool of gross people because that's how much I love it. Like halfway through the cruise, where you're looking around the boat like, oh, I am in trouble now.
Yeah, no, I don't get sick very often, but when I do, I get taken down. But I didn't expect to get sick. I was good throughout the entire cruise, and then when I got back home is when it hit me. So I was good. So, you know, it happens. It is what it is, man.
Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, dude, I got some specifics we want to get into as we are now 1 week away from the start of the NFL draft. But I'll leave the first one open-ended for you. What's your thoughts, man? Where are we at? Where we are with your draft prep, with your thoughts on the 2 second rounders, like just your overall thoughts a week out?
Yeah, no, I feel good. I've been really deep into this. One thing about being sick, I had a lot of time to kind of dive into some film, looking at some prospects, man. And I think the Panthers are in a really good spot. I think being at the top of the second round, there's some trade opportunities that you could explore if a team is thirsty enough. You can get a nice little package of picks. You know, you go, you know, get more picks, more swing at the bat. You know what I mean? So you never know, man. I don't know what's going to happen. I think we're going to have an opportunity at the top of the second round to grab two solid contributors, two starting caliber players, if they decide to stay with those picks. And I like it. I don't know, man. I don't know where they're going to go. I'm looking at these visits, a lot of wide receivers, obviously. So we know we're going to get a wide receiver somewhere. Running back is a very surprising position that are you spending a lot of visits on. So I'm excited about it, man. I have no clue. This is a new regime, new draft strategy. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do. Are they going to trade back? Are they going to stay where they are? Are they going to trade up? I don't know. We got to watch everything. You got to watch day one, too, because you never know what's going to happen with the Panthers.
So let's dive into the heavy part, which is, because you brought it up, I've heard it brought up a couple of places, the thought that there's a chance to package up the two number twos and jump back up into the first round. And obviously, we got to see what other trades are out there. There's thoughts that Arizona might trade back. There's thoughts that Minnesota might be looking to move. There's a lot of teams that can move around to the first round. And obviously, that's going to impact the value that Carolina has with those two first rounders. So instead of looking at it from that angle, Rashad, let's look at if you're going to jump up into the first round, give me a list of guys that you would consider worth it. Because I got one, but it's not super long. And I'm worried that the guys that are on this list are at a position that is super deep.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to be interested in trading up just because I don't know, man. That fifth-year option is very valuable. You talk about that, getting back in the first round and getting a fifth-year option. But if I'm going to do it, man, there's a couple of names. Brian Thomas Jr. is one from LSU that I would consider. I don't know that Ladd. I don't know that I trade up for Ladd. Again, like you just mentioned, the wide receiver class is so deep. I don't know that I would trade up for a wide receiver per se. If you're going to look defensively, I may trade up for Darius Robinson. Edge is not that deep, so that's one I may look at. But I don't know, man. I don't know that I'd trade up. I think that I would stay where we're at and kind of see how the chips fall, because there's always a guy. There's always one receiver or one name that falls to that second round that somebody's going to want, and it's going to give you the opportunity to either trade back or take said player. So I think the Panthers should take the patient approach and just see what falls to them.
This draft, to me, Rashad, is super interesting because there is a lot of potential movement. I don't know when the runs start. I absolutely think there's going to be a wide receiver run. I also think there could be a wide receiver run and still leave one of those guys available at 33. The problem to me is going to end up being an edge rusher, because I think it's a super valuable position this year. There's a lot of teams looking for him, and there are some good ones out there, but it's not nearly as deep as wide receiver. I think the problem is, if you're going to jump up to get a first round edge rusher, you pretty much take away your opportunity to get a wide receiver. And if you're going to take a wide receiver, you jumping up into the first round, I think you might end up overplaying your hand a little bit, because I think some of those guys are available. Man, it's a real thin line Dan Morgan's got to operate on here.
And not only that, I mean, you talk about edge rusher. I think, and we took a poll on our show on Tuesday talking about the biggest need on the roster. A lot of us think that the cornerback is a position of need, a bigger position of need than edge rusher. So there's some needs that we need to check. And you're not going to be able to check all the boxes. So I don't know. I maybe we trade back. Maybe we sit there at 33 and see what's there. And if there's 6-7 guys that we want, you know, you trade back and try to pick up another third or fourth, see what you can do there. But you're right. I mean, edge rusher is very, very thin. You're talking about after Darius Robinson, Chop Robinson, Jared Verse, after those guys are gone, man, it gets real thin. And luckily, I think we need a rotational guy. I don't think we need a day one starter at edge rusher, because we have a Clowney, because we have a Wanham. I think we could survive the year without a day one edge rusher, but we do need some rotational guys. We have athletes. We don't necessarily have a guy that's going to go out there and change the game yet. So I don't know, man. There's a lot of holes on this roster that we got to check. And I got to be honest, another name out there if he's sitting there at 33, my man JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, I have a hard time passing him up as well, because we're sitting here with Corbett as our starting center, who hasn't played a full season in 2 years. So there's a lot of ways you can go, lot of ways to get in the cat here.
This is interesting to me, because obviously we've had a handful of texts and tweets to the show here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate from folks that are going, all right, Rob, who are we picking, who we ended up with? And the answer is, I got no damn idea. I can give you a list of the guys I think are on that spot, Rashad, but I don't – I know this is true of every team every year, but it's more intense this year. I have not been able to come up with a situation for your team or mine over the past handful of years where it feels like your first pick is so fluid. There's a thousand things. It's other teams move in. It's where the runs are. It's depth of quality. Because, again, yeah, cornerback. I agree with you. That's a need. I also think there's a couple of cornerbacks that like feel like they're game changers out of the gate, and you got to give up two picks probably plus another one somewhere down the line to go get that guy, versus rolling the dice on two wide receivers in the second round, or a wide receiver and a cornerback that maybe doesn't have immediate star caliber quality, but you can trade. I honestly, dude, I don't know what the attack is here. I hate to say it, but if you're a fan, I think you got to take the In Dan We Trust methodology next Thursday night.
I mean, we don't have much of a choice. I mean, we've got to sit back and watch the show. And one thing's for sure, we're going to take a wide receiver. I can assure that. That I do know. We need some help at wide receiver. You know, we got an aging Adam Thielen. Deontay Johnson, who we think is going to be great, is only here for 1 year, right? We've got to extend him if we're going to keep him on the roster. So we've had like, I don't know, 11, 12 visits with wide receivers. So one thing is for certain, we're going to take a wide receiver. Where? One is leaning towards going to be in the second round. One of those picks is going to be most likely on a wide receiver. So I'm excited, man. It's between Xavier Worthy, Ladd Johnson, Xavier Leggett, there's a lot of good talent out there. I hope we grab one of them. And everything else from there, who knows what's going to happen. We have some boxes to check. There is some needs, interior offensive lineman, edge rusher, cornerback. We've got to get those positions checked. But luckily, we have a lot of picks, and we'll see what Dan Morgan decides to do. I'm excited about it.
Let me give you a guy I've been on a pendulum back and forth with, and it's Ladd McConkey, right? Because initially it was, I'm not really interested. You're just grabbing Adam Thielen Jr., Adam Thielen Volume 2.0. And then I thought, Adam Thielen's aging. If he's going to be a big part of the offense, it'd be nice when he does age out or leave to just swing the young Adam Thielen in there. Maybe it's really not a bad pick. Now I've kind of come back around to, hey, you got Deontay for a single year. If he does have a great year and somebody else is going to pay him to get him up out of Charlotte, I need that next guy on the roster. I don't want to go back-to-back wide receivers if I don't have to. And that ain't Ladd McConkey, who is Adam Thielen Volume 2.0. I there's half of me that thinks that would be a great pick at probably 39, maybe 33, if he's the best receiver on the board. And there's part of me that goes, look, if there's a deep run and you start seeing the Xaviers coming off the board earlier than you expected, now I'm trading up to get a premium guy because he's not a one. And as much as I think you've got your one in Deontay, you got to find the one of the future right now. Am I getting too aggressive here?
I don't know that I'm trading up because I think there's some other options, but I do love Ladd. I'm a Ladd guy too. I think, you know, comparing with Thielen is, I got to be honest, Rob, that's a bit lazy. Are you comparing him to Adam Thielen because he's white?
No, I'm not. Rashad, why would you do this to me? I thought we were friends, dog.
I'm just asking.
I'm saying because he's a built slot receiver, all right?
Looks like you hit a little close to home. Look at him defending himself.
Let me tell you what I did for years. All right, for years I did this.
Look how red his face is.
I said, touchdown Tommy Brady. I liked watching him play because he could turn any short white guy into a Pro Bowler. I'm not above the white guy wide receiver jokes, Rashad. I'm good with it, all right? I'm saying because he's a slot receiver. I take my Panther football very seriously here, Rashad. He's a slot wide receiver. Do you disagree?
I do disagree. I think he's an outside guy. I think he plays he has played 76% of his plays at Georgia outside. So I think he is an outside guy that can go inside, which is what the Panthers are looking for. I do think they need a guy that can play all over the field. And Ladd, it can win everywhere. He's a route runner. He's got speed. He's good in the open field. I think Ladd is a complete receiver. And he's the type of receiver we need on this squad. He is the type of guy that we need. We've done the big bodies. We've done Mingo. We've done Kelvin Benjamin. We've played those games. So all these people that fall in love with Leggett, that's all great. We've done that before. Let's get a pure route runner, a guy that can win with speed, win with route running, win inside and outside, and that's Ladd McConkey. So I love Ladd. I think he is. The only concern about him is the fact that he does have some injury concerns. Doesn't have the most production. Obviously, played with a lot of guys out in Georgia. There's a lot of footballs to spread around. So, you know, I think he hasn't quite reached his peak yet. And I think Ladd, again, is exactly what the Carolina Panthers need. And he could provide that number one of the future, like you said, if we decide to move on from Johnson.
Okay, you're winning me over. I'm moving back your direction. Is he a boom or bust guy?
No, I don't. Not at all. I don't think he's a boom or bust guy. Because I think worst case or best case scenario, he's number one. Worst case scenario, like you said, you move him to the slot, he wins, and he's wide receiver three. I don't think his floor is low to me, or his ceiling is low to me. I think he's very, very, very good. I think Ladd is going to be a very good guy for sure.
Let me give you one more name, and I'm pandering here. All right, to the folks down here in South Carolina, Xavier Leggett.
Leggett. No, I like Leggett. I do like Leggett. I like Leggett a lot. I think that he needs another development year. I don't think he's quite plug and play like Ladd is. I think that we haven't seen the best of Leggett. And I think that, you know, he had the 1 year of production. Obviously, there's reasons behind that. We don't have to get into everything in his history. You know, he's dealt with a lot personally. So I feel like we haven't quite seen the consistency out of Leggett yet. And I think he's a he's very good. I don't think people should limit him to the Mingo comparisons and like that. I think he's a very, very good receiver. I think his ceiling could be higher than Ladd's. I think he's boomer bust, right? I think he's a more boomer bust product than Ladd is. But I got to go with the sure thing. And I take Ladd over Xavier Leggett personally.
I like it. Rashad Beard here on the Rob Brown Show joins us every Thursday to talk Carolina Panther football a week out from the NFL draft. Next time we talk to Rashad, we might see some trades up and down the draft order. We might not. We'll find out. Big Dog, good to have you back, buddy. Appreciate it. I'm going to go study some more film on some white wide receivers. You jerk.
Hey, go Ladd. Hey, listen. Hey, Ladd is great. Go watch some more film on Ladd for sure. He's a good wide receiver.
Rashad Beard.
Don't limit him to slot. He's better than the slot.
Find them on YouTube at Panther Nation Podcast or on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. Feel better, Big Dog. We'll talk to you next week for draft day.
All right, good. I appreciate you guys.
You know it. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation Podcast putting me on blast for absolutely no damn reason at all.
Oh, there was definitely a reason. There was a reason.
Golly.
It's going to make an awesome promo, though.
Oh, yay. Can't wait. Rashad Beard is joining us next Thursday on draft day. Lonzo is doing a sports flash right now.
I don't know if I can do this. Atlanta Braves finished off a sweep of the Houston Astros yesterday with a 5-4 win in extra innings. The Braves notched 2 in the 8th after a throw-in error scored Michael Harris the 2nd. The win moves Atlanta to 12-5 on the year and drops Houston to just 6-14. That's bad. That's not good. Speaking of not good, the Atlanta Hawks season came to its conclusion last night with the loss to the Chicago Bulls, 131-116. Clint Capella, Trae Young, Bogdan Bogdanovich, and Deontay Murray combined for 95, while the rest of the team was responsible for 21 total. Kobe White notched 42 for the Bulls, while Nikola Vucevic and DeMar DeRozan scored 24 and 22 respectively. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.